Dearly beloved in Christ, today's epistle from St. Paul, whose day of conversion is commemorated today, to the Romans was very clearly about charity. And briefly touching on the life of St. Paul, we know he was stricken blind on his way to Damascus to apprehend some Christians who were there. The famous story unfolds where God speaks to Paul and says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And from that moment on, St. Paul was a different man. A greater redemption arc has rarely been seen among even the saints. He went from rounding up Christians for execution to picking up his cross and following Christ with every ounce of his strength and willpower. He braved shipwreck, slander, plots of assassination, physical assault, imprisonment, and finally death, all for the one true God. Sometimes we may find it hard to stand up for our faith in even the smallest of trials, whether it be at home or in public. Yet he stood before a crowd and preached the true Christ to a people who wanted him dead for the very thing about which he was trying to convince them. Let us pray for even a fraction of the zeal of our faith and the salvation of our neighbor. Furthermore, his epistles and acts have been recounted to untold numbers of Catholics throughout the centuries, inspiring and providing proof of the early teachings of the Church. But one topic in particular he loved to talk about was charity. If you were to search the scriptures, you would find it a very common, even central theme, repeated by all the apostles and certainly by our Lord himself, who once asked, "What reward is there in being kind to those who are kind to you? Even the pagans do that." We must have true charity even when that charity is scorned, rejected, or ridiculed. And our Lord also said, "If you had been of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." In today's epistle, St. Paul says we should not render evil for evil. Cornelius a Lapide says that we must renounce a spirit of retaliation, getting even or avenging oneself. Obviously, justice is allowed to be exercised by those who have that duty or authority to see that it is carried out. Likewise, self-defense, which includes defending of others, is definitely allowed and also encouraged. Our Lord says, "Greater love than this no man hath, than a man lay down his life for his friends." But this rendering of evil for evil is what is forbidden. It was an eye for an eye then, but our Lord came to change that. And from then on it was to be, "Do unto others what you would have others do unto you." We are to turn the other cheek. Our Lord tells us that charity covereth a multitude of sins. St. Paul adds, "If it be possible, as much as it is in you, having peace with all men." That is, as again Cornelius a Lapide points out, we must live peaceably with all men to the best of our abilities, but it cannot be at the expense of faith and morals. We cannot compromise with evil for the sake of peace. In his epistle, 1 Corinthians 13:1 and following, St. Paul drives home this necessity of charity. And I point out to you a yet more excellent way. If I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and I know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am as nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet if I do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And the quote goes on for a little. But we should use this as an examination of conscience. This is something we should read every morning. We should strive to become the person that St. Paul is outlining here. Right before Jesus gave a certain lawyer the parable of the man who was attacked by robbers and left on the side of the road, the lawyer stood before Jesus and asked what he had to do to gain eternal life. And our Lord simply asked him back what he thought. The lawyer said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus said, "Thou hast answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." We know this just as the lawyer already knew what he needed to do to be saved. But there's somebody else who knows this too, and his name is Satan. The devil knows how important charity is for salvation, and so he will strive to make us be uncharitable. And if we do not have charity toward each other, then how can we have true charity or love toward God? Scripture tells us that if any man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he sees, how can he love God, whom he sees not? When it comes to love of neighbor or fraternal charity, as it is sometimes called, we must strive to see God in those around us. God made man in his image and likeness. He gave every one of us a soul. He died for all of us and desires that we all get to heaven. For this is true fraternal charity, that we see God in our fellow men. Thus, our motive for loving all mankind is ultimately to love God more. Tanquary says on the topic of charity toward our neighbor, "Even if our neighbor is not in the state of grace or does not have the faith, we are called to the possession of these supernatural gifts. They are called to the possession of these supernatural gifts, and it is our duty to contribute, at least by our prayers and example, to the work of their conversion. This is a most powerful motive for loving them as brethren, and the difference that separates us from them dwindle into an insignificance in comparison with all that binds us to them." So we ought to have charity toward our neighbor for love of God, but we must make our charity all-embracing. We must have charity toward all, just as Jesus died for all of us. But what exactly is to be avoided? To have true fraternal charity, we must avoid rash judging, slander, calumny. We must overcome any dislike that we may have toward one another. No bitter words, ridicule, or contempt, rivalries, discord, false accusations must be rooted out of our life in order to be that true follower of Christ. On the positive side, St. Paul tells us what a true Christian community must do. He says, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling. Our Lord, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all, let nothing be done through contention, neither by vain glory, but in humility, let each esteem others better than themselves, each one not considering the things that are his own, but those that are other men's." Finally, we have a most sweet reassurance from Jesus himself, and probably one of the most encouraging and at the same time frightful sentences uttered by our Lord when he says, "Amen, I say to you, as long as you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.